Umar would lead Salat al-Fajr with a long surah, therefore giving time for the community to join the congregation. And as he led that salah, Abu Lukhru, may Allah give him what he deserves, he advanced from the dim pillar, or from a dim pillar. A poisoned dagger was hidden in his sleeve. And he jumped in front of Umar radiallahu anhu and tore open his stomach with the dagger. SubhanAllah. Abu Lukhru then attempted an escape through the congregation, slashing left and slashing through his right, murdering in his path many of the companions of Umar. And one of the companions threw a cloth over Abu Lukhru. And when he realized that he had been caught, Abu Lukhru killed himself. But despite the great pain of having his flesh tore open, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, was able to complete Salat al-Fajr. And he passed away later in his bed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest station of the Jannah. Ameen. The importance, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, of the prayer cannot be understated. It is the first pillar of Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned after mentioning the testimony of faith. And it's through this testimony of faith that we become officially Muslim. It was made obligatory upon all the prophets and for all peoples. Allah declared its obligatory status under majestic circumstances. For example, when Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke directly to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he said in Surah Taha in translation, "And I have chosen you, so listen to what is revealed to you. Indeed, I am Allah. There is no deity except me. So worship me and establish prayer for my remembrance." And these are ayat 13 and 14 of Surah Taha. Similarly, the prayers were made obligatory upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his ascension to heaven. Furthermore, when Allah praises the believers, such as in the beginning of Surah Mu'minun, one of the first descriptions that he states is their adherence to the Surah. Where Allah says in this Surah in translation, Ayahs 1 and 2, "Certainly, when the believers have succeeded, they who are doing their prayers humbly submissive." My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the importance of prayer is demonstrated in many of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam statements. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The first matter that the slave will be brought to account for on the day of judgment is the prayer. If it is sound, then the rest of his deeds will be sound. And if it is bad, then the rest of his deeds will be bad." And this is recorded by Al-Tabrani. And according to Sheikh Al-Albani, this hadith is sahih. In reality, when the salah is performed properly, with true remembrance of Allah and turning to Him for repentance and for forgiveness, it will have a lasting effect on the person. After he finishes the prayer, his heart will be filled with the remembrance of Allah. He will be fearful as well as hopeful of Allah. After that experience, he will not want to move from that lofty position to one wherein he disobeys Allah. There is said, and mashallah, we are in this blessed month of Hajj, there is said that a person, when they come back from Hajj, that they're not the same person that they were when they left. Well, indeed, we can see the same thing from the salah. If a person is sincere in their salah, and has correct concentration and devotion in their salah, indeed they won't return after giving the tasneem the same way as they were before the takbir al-ihram, and Allah knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned this aspect of the salah in Surah Ankabut, in ayah 45 when he says, recite, O Muhammad, what has been revealed to you of the book and establish the prayer. Indeed, prayer prohibits immorality and wrongdoing, and the remembrance of Allah is greater. And Allah knows that which you do. The problem is, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, that amongst our communities of Musareen, those who perform the Salah, we find some hazy actions that need to be brought back into focus. And amongst these are that some of us do not concentrate on what we are saying in our Salah. Some of us, we speed through our Salah. Some of us wonder with our gaze during the Salah. Many times we forget the number of rak'ah performed. For some, the dunya hugs their hearts during Salah and clouds their minds. Sometimes before the imam says Allahu Akbar, some in the congregation are already in the next position, subhanAllah. Let us compare this to those that came before us. People used to think that our Rabbi, Ibn Qaytan, due to his constant lowering of his gaze and keeping his head low in Salah, the people used to think that he was blind. And he used to live behind the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu for 20 years. And when his servant girl used to see him, she would say, your blind friend is coming. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud rahimullah radiallahu anhu used to laugh at her speech because he knew that this person was not blind. In Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, a man entered the masjid and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting down in the masjid. The man prayed 2 rak'ah and came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, As-salamu alaykum. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to his salams and then said, go back and pray, for you have not prayed. So the man went back, prayed 2 rak'ah again like he did the first time, and then came back and repeated his salam to the Prophet. And the Prophet again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied to his salams and told him to go back and pray, for he had not prayed. So the man went back, and he prayed the 2 rak'ah again. And he did this 3 times. And each time the Prophet would tell him, go back and pray, for you have not prayed. On the 3rd time, the man said, by him who sent you with the truth, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not know any better than this. Teach me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, if you stand up for salah, say Allahu Akbar. Then read what comes easy for you from the Qur'an. Then bow until you are comfortable in your ruku. Then stand up until you are standing up straight. Then prostrate until you are comfortable in your sujood. Then sit until you are comfortable in your durood. Then prostrate until you are comfortable in your sujood. And do this in your entire salah. So let us go back and do our salah again. This is the topic of today's discussion. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we must ask ourselves, why do we come to the masjid? Why do we get on our prayer rugs? Why do we perform the salah? We do it in application of the command of our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. Why should we then lose the blessings and rewards because of a wandering heart and an itchy hand? Concentration is the soul of our salah. Concentration is the fruit of our iman. Yet regardless of this understanding, people still leave the salah and only a small portion of it is written for them because of their imperfection of it. the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily a man will leave from his salat only a tenth, subhanAllah, of his salat is written for him, a ninth, an eighth, a seventh, a sixth, a fifth, a third, or a half. And this is from Abu Dawood and from Tirmidhi. Uthman ibn Abi Ashah said, I have never prayed a salah that I have not asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive for my shortcomings in that salah. Indeed, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, someone who shortchanges his salah is a thief. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the evilest thief is he who steals from his salah. And the companion asked, O Messenger of Allah, how does he steal from his salah? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he does not perfect his ruku and his sujood. And this hadith is authentic. And because of the speed that some apply to the salah, it is as if they were pecking up and down like a bird. And it's narrated by Ahmed and Abu Dawood and others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade that someone should peck in salah like a crow. Umar radiyallahu anhu once stood on the pulpit and addressed the community with a loud, powerful voice. And he said, a man may grow old in Islam and never have completed to Allah a single salah. And those that heard his voice, they asked, how is this? And Umar radiyallahu anhu said, he does not perfect his concentration, nor his humbleness, nor his focus on Allah azza wa jalla. Once Maruf al-Qarqi, rahimahullah rahmatullah alayh, stood amongst some of his students and said to the other, and one of his students said to another student, please leave the Isha Salah. And the first student he accepted, but he made a condition. He said, I shall leave the Salah on condition that you leave Salatul Fajr in the morning and not me. And Maruf rahimahullah rahmatullah alayh was shocked at what he said, and he commented to his students. He said, by Allah, if you think that you will be alive for Fajr, then you have not perfected your salah. Subhanallah. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad rahimahullah rahmatullah alayh said, I went out one day, and whenever I would go out, I would always pass by Aisha radiyallahu anha, and I would give her my salams. On this one particular day, I went out, and when I found Aisha radiyallahu anha, she was praying Salatul Duha, reciting over and over and over the same verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, which comes from Surah At-Tur, Ayahs 26 and 27, where she will continue to say over and over. In translation, they will say, indeed, we were previously amongst our people, fearful of displeasing Allah. So Allah conferred favor upon us and protected us from the punishment of the scorching fire. And Aisha radiyallahu anha, she was crying and invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repeating the verse. And Al-Qasim, he said, I stood there waiting until I got tired. She remained as I found her. When I saw this, I said to myself, let me go to the market and do what I have to do, and then I'll come back. So after I had finished what I needed to do at the market, I returned to Aisha radiyallahu anha, and she still was as I left her, repeating the verse, invoking Allah and crying. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we must ask ourselves, how do we concentrate in salah? from the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us the following. First, we should come early for Salah and prepare ourselves to concentrate. We should repeat the Adhan after the Muazzin. And after the Adhan, say the prescribed supplication. And between the Adhan and the Iqamah, we should make Dua. We must make sure that we do our wudu properly, cleanse our mouth, and we should wear our best clothes because we're standing in front of the Lord of all the worlds. Secondly, we should make our aim to get the entire reward of our salah. Abu Bakr ibn Iyash said, I saw Habib ibn Thabit in sujood. If you saw him, you would think that he was dead by how long he held his sujood. Thirdly, we should contemplate the ayat and the adhikr being recited during the prayer, like we saw from the example I gave of Aisha, when she kept reciting the same verse over and over and over and contemplating on it and invoking Allah Azza wa Jalla. Think about the meaning of the verses that you are reciting. Isn't it disheartening that someone may perform salah for decades, day after day, salah after salah, and they still don't know what they are saying? SubhanAllah. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the Book of Allah, the Quran Kareem, was revealed to be pondered over. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Sa'ad, Ayah 29, this is a blessed book which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, that they may reflect upon its verses, and that those of understanding would be reminded. And for the brothers who are able to hear me, in particular, we need to pray in congregation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in Surah Baqarah, Ayah 43, he says in translation, and establish the prayer, and give the zakat, and bow with those who bow in worship and obedience. And fifthly, we should never miss our nafil salah, especially those that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray constantly, especially Salatul Witr and the Sunnah of Fajr and Salatul Maghrib. And indeed Allah knows best. Number six, do not speed up your salah. Take your time. And do not allow your salah to become the most invaluable action of your day. Ibn Wahd said, I saw At-Tawri at the Kaaba after Maghrib. He got up to pray and then prostrated. He did not come out of that prostration until after the Adhan of Isha was given. SubhanAllah. But we find many of us today, especially in my masjid, they are pecking like chickens. They're up and down so fast, I'm surprised they have time to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. By the time they say Bismillah, it seems like they're giving a tasleem to Salam al-Salah. SubhanAllah. No khushu, no devotion, no nothing in Salah, just empty movements. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and guide us all. Ameen. And it is so important, as Muslim number seven, of this list, that we have to know, we have to have yaqeen. What is the translation for the word yaqeen? SubhanAllah. We must know, be assured. No, that's iman. I said yaqeen. We must know that Allah responds to our prayer. Certainty. We must have certainty that Allah Azza wa Jal will respond to our prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah, the Blessed and Exalted, has said, I have divided the prayer between myself and my slave into two halves, and my slave shall have what he asks for. when the slave says, "Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds." Allah says, "My slave has praised me." When the slave says, "The Most Merciful, the Bestower of Mercy," Allah says, "My slave has exalted me." And when the slave says, "Master of the Day of Judgment," Allah says, "My slave has glorified me." When the slave says, "It is you alone we worship, and it is you alone we ask for help," Allah says, "This is between me and my slave, and my slave shall have what he asks for." And when the slave says, "Guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored, not the path of those who receive your anger, nor of those who go astray," Allah says, "All these are for my slave, and my slave shall have what he has asked for." And this hadith can be found in Sahih Muslim. SubhanAllah. Number 8. Prayer with a barrier, with a sutra in front of you. We should make our prayer with a sutra in front of us, and we should pray close to it. Another thing that will help us in our khushu, in our concentration, in our devotion, in our salah, is paying attention to the matter of having a sutra and praying close to it. Because this will restrict our vision, and it will protect us from the shayateen, and help keep people from passing in front of us, which causes us to be distracted and takes our attention away from the salah. And it, in essence, can reduce the rewards of our prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "When any one of you prays, let him pray facing a sutra, and let him get close to it." And this is recorded by Abu Dawood. And number 9, we should seek refuge in Allah from the shayateen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the following method of combating the whispers of the Satan, of Iblis and his minions. Abu al-As radiyallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Messenger of Allah," or he said to the Prophet of Allah, "O Messenger of Allah, the Shaitan interrupts me when I pray, and I get confused in my recitation." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "That is a Shaitan whose name is Khanzab. If you sense his presence, seek refuge with Allah from him, and spit dry spit towards your left side 3 times. And then he said that I did this, and after that, Allah took him away from me. And this is in Sahih Muslim. And finally, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we should pray as if you were told that immediately after your salah, you will be going back to Allah. Indeed, we should make every prayer as if it was our last, because death comes quickly. Abu Bakr al-Muzani rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayhi, says, "If you want your salah to benefit you, then say, 'I shall die after this salah.' And indeed, in all things, Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. I have said what I have said, and I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me and forgive you all that is corrected from Allah and the mistakes of myself and the shayateen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." If there are any questions or comments or corrections, please feel free to make them now, inshallah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.